Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cale, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Zach Paris, I'm the pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Colorado Boulder, which today, Matt, is gorgeous. I did a little flex. Went on a little run today and did my little campus loop, and I ran over the bridge that goes across Varsity Pond, and the turtles were out and the sun was shining. Just such a change from two days ago when there was an inch or two of snow. So,
wow. Springtime must be so interesting. It's just still 70s and sunny here. So.
Yeah. I mean, so our springs are, our spring and fall is super compressed. We don't get long versions of them, but they're intense, you know? So we've probably got another week before everything turns brown again as you're familiar with.
Right. Yeah. That's
until the next snowmelt.
Very familiar. Well, Zach, as the seasons change, we're in Bishop's election season.
As the seasons really change, some things stay the same. It's Bishop's election season.
I feel like we should give a shout out to Megan Moore, who I assume got the Triduum bump.
Megan won by 2 votes. I have to think that at least 2 of those 300, 400, 500 votes, at least 2 of those people were on. Encountered in some way the Triduum project that Megan appeared on, which, I mean, let's just be honest, right? It's just a simple, we use the property of association. It's a Vinyl Preacher bump is what pushed Megan.
It's the Vinyl Preacher bump, yeah.
Into bishophood.
Yeah.
And yeah, Megan, we're so sorry that we did that to you.
That's true. We are so sorry. That is, condolences, I believe, is the proper.
If you were to be elected bishop, Matt, like the time right now for Megan is the best part, has to be the best part about being bishop.
Right? Yeah, that's
because
true.
For until you're installed, the time from election to installation, yeah. Everybody loves you, right? Like you just like all these people voted for you. They can't wait for you to do your stuff. And then you actually have to start doing the job. And I can't imagine that that's fun in any way.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the moments
so
of election and installation.
Enjoy this summer,
it's the best. Yeah.
Megan.
Yeah. There were also problems at the Sierra Pacific Synod elections, surprisynly.
Problems at a synod.
As an outsider just tuning in, probably don't want to say too much about that, but I do want to point out that if you try to do an election in 48 hours, I feel like there could be problems that arise. And I know this because the same thing happened at our last bishop's election, pretty similar situation. And I just feel like maybe these don't need to be 48-hour elections. That's just my little...
I love when we vague book on the podcast here. And I appreciate all the people vague booking during the election of the bishop in the Sierra Pacific Synod, because I actually, Matt, what you said is the exact amount of knowledge that I have of what happened, right? Like, there was a moment where, like, all of my Sierra Pacific friends on the internet were putting things, basically saying that, like, something happened. There's no, like, there's not enough media coverage to, like, say, here's what happened. So I was inferring things from what happened, reading in comments, trying to figure out the salacious thing that happened. But we'll never know. Matt, I had a similar thought during this bishop's election, because we've talked about Synod Assemblies. Our position, at least my position on Synod Assemblies on this podcast, is well known. Why is it, Matt? I have a question, a serious question. Why is it that the election of bishops is so different than when we call pastors, right?
It's insane.
If this is a good process, let's make it that way for pastors. So, listener, maybe you're the head of a congregation. I assume that many, many members of our listenership here are presidents of congregations. Don't bother with this whole writing a ministry site profile, interviewing candidates, flying them out. Who has time for that, right? What you do is you say, we are calling a new pastor on May 12th. If you're interested in being a part of being the pastor of this congregation, show up on Friday night, and we'll just take a couple votes with the congregation that we're having to sleep in with the congregation, and we're going to have a pastor by Sunday morning.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Why would you take time to discern these things and, like, for the pastor to, like, take time to think about and process the experience? Let's just steamroll it, wrap it up all into one weekend. I say the more important the call, the less amount of time for reflection.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that is how we do it. I think it's super problematic and leads to it, like, it exacerbates these issues that already exist. We'll just continue vague booking on that one because I don't
I think fired. That pastors should not have to fill out an entire rostered, what is it these days, rostered minister profile with a 20 page dossier. You should write a brief bio, show up with it in your picture, hand it out, and then let the people vote, and let's just do it.
Yeah.
Who wants to read 20,000 words on your understanding of pastoral ministry?
Yeah.
Just headshot and brief bio. Come on.
Yeah, I tried to do a candidates forum in our synod, and we were told we were not allowed to do that.
Yeah, no. If it's more than two paragraphs, cannot. It's in the constitution of the ELCA that you cannot elect a bishop that you know more than two paragraphs about.
It's incredible. Incredible stuff. We have our own bishop selection fast approaching.
I mean, this is the third vinyl preacher bishop.
Yeah.
We're growing as a political party in the Conference of Bishops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who are the other ones?
Yahiel, who's never been on the podcast, but we like to think...
No, we just like him. Okay.
We just like him. He did the LSM thing where we did a live preacher show. We were in the same place at the same time doing the show. Physical proximity to the podcast is a thing. And Kevin Strickland, who also has never appeared on the podcast.
That's
which
true.
Which is a common theme. The best way to get the vinyl preacher bump is not to come on the show.
Right, that's true. Yeah, just to refuse to come on the show. That's
Adrian, that's a good bad news.
It's very important. Oh, wow. Well, I was thinking this morning, just some advice for the candidates. So folks were posting about the New York City mayoral election that there were a few candidates that did not know the median home price for a home in Brooklyn, which I found the whole thing hilarious because we're looking at home prices and I know it's like so cliche, but their estimates
were off by so many magnitudes. A magnitude of 10 was like, is not an acceptable.
$80,000 to $90,000. And then the interviewer was like, the median price is $900,000. Like, just the fact that you would not have any, I could tell you that the median home price here in Los Angeles is $750,000. That's the entire city, not like a neighborhood. I think the neighborhood where I am is significantly higher than that. But, you know, I could tell you that. So I just feel like perhaps that is something that a bishop candidate should probably know as well, is what is the median home price
in your synod,
your city? Because compensation is a big deal, and we should talk about it more. Equitable compensation.
It is, Matt, and it's a tough... I mean, again, I don't think... Well, at least for myself, I'm not too worried about being elected bishop. I was a little disappointed, Matt, that I was not on a single ballot in Sierra Pacific, you know, given the broad reach of the vinyl preacher. So Southwest California, somebody, you know, I don't have any delusions of grandeur, but I've yet to receive a single vote for bishop in this church. And I've been a pastor for 11 years now, and I think I deserve it, to be really honest. I got a great podcast.
What if I just write in the vinyl preacher? Like, what do you think they would?
I just want to see that PDF that somebody posts on Facebook that gets shared around and have the vinyl preacher and a number next to it. What we should do, Matt, here's what we actually should do. If our listeners were as cynical as we are, and I don't know if they are, is we should have a movement to just like a wink. I want a wink from Synod Assembly attendees who listen to the vinyl preacher, where I want you to nominate, because the first ballot is, we make up this fancy word for it, like it matters, like it's like that gives it, like that's a good thing, that it's ecclesial ballot. You can just write down whoever you want. But we should do a John Oliver style, like expose bishop selections, where vinyl preachers write down, preacher listeners write down the name of, we all agree on one fake name to put down. And so whenever we see it, it's subtle, but we know that a vinyl preacher listener participated in that bishop selection.
It should be like the name of a musical artist, I feel like, to fit our brand.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe someone lesser known so that it's not so obvious.
Yeah, yeah. Daniel Caesar.
Daniel Caesar.
He's so hot right now. He's on the new Justin Bieber track there. Peaches. What I don't really get, and I don't want to ask too many questions about the song.
I have listened to Justin Bieber's entire album.
Oh, yeah?
It's because it's called Justice, and it has Martin Luther King excerpts. And I was like, I gotta hear this. Like, how I think it's going to be terrible, justice but I just want
to
know.
To the legacy of Dr. King?
Like, it's really bizarre.
Are you serious?
The whole thing is bizarre.
He did not do justice to the legacy of Dr. King. Those songs don't fully embody the line, I get my peaches from Georgia, my weed from California, doesn't fully proclaim the beloved community.
No. There is, I will say, I have heard somebody did a really beautiful acoustic version of Holy for a worship service. It was really nice. So, you know.
Sounds great.
Grace abounds.
Doesn't it?
Well, today we have some texts. I got a story to lead in these texts. Ooh, can I tell?
Please.
I got really into, as I may have talked about too many times on this podcast, here's one thing that happened to me during the pandemic. I got really into birding. I like to look at birds, identify them, take a picture of them. Makes me feel like I'm entering midlife.
As the divine spouse.
And so over St. Mark's Lutheran Church, we have this courtyard with, open air. Just look up, and there are some kind of raptors, some birds of prey. I don't know if it's a hawk, I don't know if it's a falcon. I don't know what's up there. And then there are these crows that will mob it. They'll chase it down, and they just dogfight up there, and it's incredible to watch. It's great. It's a thing. I've read about it, and now I can see it happen. Well, so here I see it up there. I'm going to take a picture because I want to know what kind of, like, bird of prey that is up there. I want to know what is that? What is that thing? Is it a Cooper's hawk? Is it like peregrine falcon? I don't know. What is it? So I got my zoom lens and I ran out and I took a picture and I zoomed in, and this thing had just a flaming red orange tail. And I was like, that's it. Red tailed hawk. There it is.
It was a great picture. Like, circling. It was super, like, you look at it and you're like, red tailed hawk, obviously.
It's incredible. I zoomed in. It was like moment of recognition. It was just so, and you couldn't, it's great. So what a Pentecostal image to have this bird just circling over the church. Maybe it's more of a baptism of our Lord image, but I'm going to claim it as also being a Holy Spirit image.
You know, we're not going to talk about it yet, Matt, but English football, a favored animal to go on the crest, which is a thing, you know, the Chicago Fire Soccer Club should consider, is a phoenix. Pretty common theme, especially with my beloved AFC Wimbledon rising from the ashes. So there's a Pentecost bird for you. Matt, I have a short dad, vinyl dad story. To give a little bit of a little sneak peek, you guys missed a 45-minute rant before the podcast recording began, where Matt and I were talking about the struggles of entering into hybrid worship. You know, you saw the thing online. I've been going on Sunday evenings to St. Aidan's for real in-person outdoor church. And Zelma, my daughter, and I went by ourselves on Sunday because it was Mother's Day. And they do communion. So I've been able to physically, like, take communion, which is really lovely. But you commune within your, like, party still, right? So anyway, I gave Zelma the wafer, and they only do the bread. And it was very much like the most stereotypical, like, piece of cardboard wafer ever. And I gave it to her, and I said, the body of Christ is given for you. And she ate it, and then she said, is this really the body of Christ? And I thought for, like, half a second, and I was like, yes. And she said, then why does it taste so good? Raisins! So, there were no raisins in it. She exclaimed raisins after she said that. But kids these days.
Incredible. That's great.
I'll put that on a t-shirt. Can it really be the body of Christ if it tastes this good?
Love it. Love it. Well, here we are at Pentecost.
Here we are. I got to say, Matt, in my power rankings of church festivals, Day of Pentecost, number one on my list. It's my favorite. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. Whoa. Clearly Easter Vigil and then Day of Pentecost.
It's great. Do you think it's a good excuse for me to bust out the solo stove?
Heck yes, Matt. Proud owner of a slightly used solo stove. Smokeless.
Slightly used. Fun fact, Zach and I have been talking about solo stoves for a while, ever since you sent me a picture of one. And I didn't realize the smokeless fire pits. I guess it's low smoke. There's like a little bit. We'll find out.
You've already broken out?
I gotta test it. But still. No, I saw Manuel Renamosa in San Diego House. I had one at their vigil, and I got really excited. So I was at REI to get my bike fixed. And I went and looked at the solo stove. Look at the different sizes. And I was like, you know what? I think the Ranger is going to be better than the Bonfire for our size, mm-hmm. you know, of space. Looking at that. Still pretty pricey. So didn't feel like I could pull the trigger. I was borderline. I was almost there, but didn't quite do it. And then my bike was going to take a little while to work on, so I decided to walk down the, the strip mall. And REI had temporarily taken over another space for their garage sale.
The garage
which is where sale. They have, like, used items, and mm-hmm. they're all final. They tell you when you walk in, it's all final sale, which just makes me all nervous. But I was like, you know what, let me see
and
if
you don't get
those.
A dividend on it. Also,
right? Don't yeah. No, I should have asked about that. Mm. But I walked in, and here's this. They had a solo stove. They had a solo stove. It did say it was a little rusty, and so I opened it up. It was quite rusty.
Yeah, it's
but having
a
used
little rusty.
Having used fire pits in the past, I mean, they get that way. You know, it's like a car. Like you drive it off the lot, and all of a sudden, you know, like mm-hmm. it only takes one, maybe more than that. But it does. You know, this is what happens to fire pits. So I was also And it was more than 50% off. Like, it was, like, a significant discount. So you encouraged me to get it, so I blame you.
Right. You did it. I told you you could stand
so
it off.
Excited.
I think you can. I think you can stand that thing down. It's going to look real nice.
I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it a shot. So that's exciting to me and probably none of our listeners. But maybe I'll try it out for Pentecost. Maybe it fits, Zach. It fits this day.
Oh, I think it does. I think it does.
I'm going to do my Zoom worship with me in front of the solo stuff. It's going to be great.
I had a whole Bible study because, you know, we've talked about it before. We, you and I both have done these fire Bible studies with fire pits and stuff. And we tried to do one of those on Zoom. So I set up my laptop in the house in a different location at my like gas fire pit and renamed that Zoom account The Fire. So we had like The Fire participating as a Zoom member. It didn't last for long, like all of my attempts at church on Zoom. But the main thing is, for months and months and months, I couldn't figure out how to change the name on that Zoom account. So I was The Fire in multiple.
That's great. That's good. That's a good name.
You know, for a soccer team.
What are we reading for these texts? Are we going to do all three of these? Why would they give us? I feel like you should just leave the John off, but then you probably should do the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, so Matt, let's just talk about the ones we want to talk about, because you're not preaching on John. Like, you can't. Like, if
yeah,
John is the
you?
Main text, like you've done, you may be sued for malpractice. because you've got, like, the classic Pentecost story, which has enough, like, there's so much there. And then you've got Dry Bones. Like, what?
So good.
How are you going to preach about John? Like, I even looked it up in my, like, commentaries and stuff, and they're all, like, the commentaries are shorter than the text. Like, they have less to say about it than the text has to say about itself. You don't really want to get into the advocate thing because it's super amorphous and, like, you end up, like, in the weeds of a conversation, of a debate that doesn't matter to most people, right? Like, the tree of knowledge and the tree of good and evil and, like, the garden. Is it the same tree? Is it a different tree? Is the advocate the same as the spirit? Is the spirit of truth the same as the spirit? The paraclete? Like, what? All this. Like, no, come on. Nobody.
It's too much.
Nobody
too
wakes
much.
Up in the middle of the night. It's like, is the paraclete the same as the spirit? The Dark Soul of the Night does not center around the Advocate. But sure. I think it's a decent complimentary text, which is, I think, a fine thing. Like, it doesn't always have to be about the gospel. That the gospel can play the complimentary role to other readings. But the Old Testament is back, Matt. We haven't seen it since Lent.
That's true. That's true. And what a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback.
Ezekiel 37. Oh, this is so good. We did this. It's a visual story. So we did this in Sunday school back in Lent at my church, and we talked about it as a bad dream turning into a good dream, which was super fun. Oh, the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them, and there were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry, just to be clear, very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Really good answer here. I answered, "Oh Lord God, you know." Really great not answer.
That's way out of that. He's been to media training.
That's how I usually respond to theological questions. Mm-hmm. Well, Doug.
What do you think?
Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones." That's a good way to preface your scripture readings, by the way. Just announce to the congregation, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord," and then read your scripture. "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath." Oh, he's just egging him on. "Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. This whole thing sounds to me like this just sorcery and ceremony. This is like Doctor Strange scene
Fantasia?
Right here. Like, this is, oh, it's just, yeah, Fantasia? Oh, totally. Sorcerer's Apprentice right here. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." I feel like this is a relevant text for this moment that we are in. We were, I think, before recording, lamenting the challenges of coming back into in-person worship. Very excited to do it. Glad to do it. The transitional phase, not super excited about. But this seems to speak to this, like, this word of, like, we are cut off completely. And there's this re-ligamenting, this reconnecting that happens. And it feels very tactile. It takes me back to that. I mean, what is that? Isn't that the etymology of religion, this re-ligamenting, right? This reconnecting? And maybe that's what's called for now, is that we can think deeply about reconnecting and imagine what that might look like.
I like it, Matt. I like it. I felt this morning, Matt, a little bit of... I usually really do look forward to recording the podcast, and I wasn't super excited about recording the podcast because it felt like it was going to be another week where we got on to have a conversation about the world and church, and the punchline is, oh, geez. And I get out your violins and stuff, right? I'm really just so overwhelmed and tired of week after week after week now. In I don't know, particularly intense ways of understanding the brokenness of the world. But to say what I hear in Ezekiel this today is the necessity of, like, seeing the bones. I think that a pandemic thing has made clear, like, the failings and inadequacies of our society. It's really laid them bare that we've been able to see the bones, and that's true of the church. The church is not exempt from that, and we have seen that in particular ways locally in the church here in the past couple weeks. And so that's where I'm at. And that good news here, the good news that I would preach out of this comes in that cross-shaped sort of thing. I was struck by, as you're reading along there, thus says the Lord, God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. I'd never caught that before, that the bones are not simply those who've lived long, good lives and died contented and happy, but these are the bones of the slain who've been struck down. I'm also struck by the zombie sort of part of this, which is could be fun. I'm going to open up your graves and bring you up from your graves, which implies, first, if you want to participate in this new life of God, you've got a, ghost of Christmas future. You got to come down into the grave first. It's not the promise of eternal life, period. It's the life that comes out of the grave. And that is a place where I'd build my connection to the Gospel of John, if we're not going to talk too much about it, that Jesus is doing one of his extended farewell discourse. And he's talking about the Advocate and the Spirit. And he says that I have to go in order for the Spirit to come, which I think is, again, that cross shape to things that for the new life to come, there needs to be you got to see the bones. The bones have got to be made clear, transparency, and you got to get down the grave.
Amen. Yeah, there's a real death and resurrection feel here. It also reminds me. I mean, pointing out these slain. Part here, and then we'll see this in Acts too, but this year more than any other, I've just been so aware that the Easter, the resurrection stories that we have they're post-trauma. Like, they're stories that still have so much trauma in them, right? Because they've just been through this really horrible thing, and there are notes of hope within them, but there's also just a lot of, like, trauma still present in the resurrection stories. And so all these stories, like, that is made really clear here in Ezekiel. But it's going to be true in Acts 2. Like, I think we need to continue to read these stories in, both, yes, in historical context, but also in, like, the context of what these disciples have been through, what this community has been through, and then make those connections to what our communities have been through this year.
I like it, man. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all gathered together in one place, as your communities and congregations and parishes might eventually do. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, but not the other ones, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?" And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem. "Let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. And indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." "And there's no way you could be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning," said a campus pastor. "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. And before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Whew. What a story.
What a story. There's just so much there.
Wind and flame, language. Oh my gosh. Ugh. Dreams and visions.
The moon turns to blood. The sun turns to darkness. There'll be blood and fire and smoky mist. I just love it so much, Matt. It's my favorite Sunday to preach. I think this may be our fifth Pentecost, Day of Pentecost podcast. So I don't know. I can only assume that all of our listeners listen to every episode and they've heard all of my takes before.
Right.
But I don't know if anything super that feels super new to this text, because you do get it every year. And I've been able to preach on this text a lot in terms of supply stuff. But the where I usually go with it, and where I continue to go with it, right? I love the visions and dreams stuff here. And it hits in the time of in which we find ourselves, Matt. The pandemic, in some ways, I think, has functioned and will continue to function as a big reset for a lot of society. The opportunity to change foundational and basic things about the way we live and the way we live together. So a lot of what I hear in around me in media and in the church are about different visions and dreams for what the future will hold. You know, I listened to a podcast the other day with heated debate about whether office workers will return to in-person working. And if not, what might hybrid work look like? You know, and we're gearing up for a big episode of the podcast where we talk about how you make hybrid worship possible, right? And never the Episcopal priest that I work with, the rector, has a true sentence, right? Like, but she has continually said, we're not going back to worship, right? Like, we're going to something new. And that she's also been honest about it, right? Like, we don't know what it is. And so I think it's important to say, on one hand, to caveat it a bit, to say that all dreams do not come true. My apologies to all of our Disney listeners. But in some ways that gives you more freedom, right? It's like this mystery of the cross thing, that you're not bound to all of your dreams and visions, that there is enough space to mess up, to color outside the lines, to have dreams that it's a good idea you don't follow. But that it is the promises that in this explosion of the fantastical, that's actually somewhere in there is where the Spirit of God is calling us.
Yeah, I mean, it's not structured like a strategic plan where you lay out a vision and then here's the steps you're going to get to achieve it, right? Like, and in fact, none of the story is like that. They gather together in one place. And then everything else that happens, it's like they're trying to catch up and like say, well, I think this is what's going on, you know, like, but it's there along for the ride. And I think that is a really interesting way to think about it, right? So we gather and then God shows up and all these things happen. And I don't want to minimize the fact that obviously we who lead worship do a lot of preparation, right, to make these things happen. But still, I think there is like this sense of like, I mean, you read the story, like there's not, they didn't plan for this to happen. Like Jesus told them an advocate was going to come. He did not describe this specifically, right? So they did not know what that was going to look like and how that was going to play out.
I'd say that one, to your trauma point, right? Just the confusion and the disorientation is enough, you know, you can preach that here as you and I again talked about in the pre-show, that's Patreon only for our big donors. And we talked about it last week on the podcast, right? Like when I had really clear rules, got to wear a mask everywhere I go. I can follow that, right? And now, like, post-trauma, I still need to wear the mask. I still need to do these things, but it's not clear anymore. And it's, I'm disoriented. And, like, I'm constantly thinking, I was at the church today, office today by myself, and I knew I was the only person in the building. I was going to be the only person in the building. So, like, what, and the whole office staff, even when, like, the three of us are there, we're both, we're all double vaxxed plus 2 weeks and stuff, right? And we, and I think everything's okay and appropriate and stuff, right? But it's this hard thing of, like, well, we don't have, like, a hard and fast rule right now. So we're all, like, trying to feel out and figure out, like, we're stumbling around this dark room to figure out what it is we're supposed to be doing. And to do that with that sort of the other angle on this, right, is, I mean, it's so international, intercultural, interethnic here, concern for the neighbor. As long as that's your operating ethic, I think you'll be fine. The other thing I'd lift up, Matt, though, is this is on the second chapter of Acts, as we covered. I think it's just really important to know that they elected a new disciple right before this happened.
Yeah.
That they're like, true. We should have a very ordered election, disciples election. Everyone will arrive and submit your two-paragraph bio with a picture. And yep, that's what God wanted us to do. And then God, then they gather, and then God shows up and is like, oh, actually, this the future will not be so ordered. My friends, that's your order, not my order.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Oh. Yeah.
You're telling me there weren't any female candidates for disciple?
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started. Well, as we plan our own gatherings to see how the Holy Spirit's going to show up in the rest of 2021, what are we listening to?
In the past 12 months, no song, Matt, has more captured the public imagination than one of the hit tracks off of Fleetwood Mac's album, Rumors, than Dreams. You know, you get on your skateboard, you get your cranberry juice, and you just let it roll. So I know that I put it on the playlist at some point when that was happening. So inspired by that list, I'm going to go with a dream-centered playlist, but not using Fleetwood Mac's Dreams. Instead, we're going to go with the Cranberries, because we have the dreams, you know, in Acts, the young men, the young men and the old men, right? Like, by the, two steps back. The dream, the other thing too, right, is saying the most disenfranchised among you are the people who you should be listening to, because there's nobody who you cared less about than young people and really old people in the ancient Near East, because they were both really close to death. And it made sense, right, because they weren't going to have to deal with the future. So why let them, like, make decisions about the future? Because children died all the time, and old people died immediately. So there's a little nugget for you. Listen to the disenfranchised among you and their dreams. Who has been more disenfranchised? I know one of our listeners will appreciate this than the Irish, Matt. And perhaps the greatest Irish band of all time, the Cranberries. Dreams. I'm putting it on the playlist in support of Ireland's continued membership in the EU. There are so many good dream songs, Matt. I found a lovely one that was new to me. It's not a new song, but Iron and Wine has a song called Call It Dreaming, which gets into the brokenness of stuff. Like, it's really pretty and, like, well-written. And then a banger, Matt. We needed a banger. And Empire of the Sun, One Hit Wonders, Walking on a Dream. When I saw it show up on Spotify when I was searching for dream songs, I was like, what is this? I don't know what this is. It's got a lot of plays, though. And then as soon, like, two notes in, I'm like, oh, it's that song.
Yeah, I think I saw them at Coachella, and they were incredible. Good stuff. Love the dream songs. I went with Fire, but new Fire songs for me, anyway. Because I feel like it's like any band, it's like a rite of passage. You have to write a song that is either just titled Fire or has Fire the title.
Matt, I don't want to fully interrupt because we're gonna have a tight podcast here. But I watched all of Shadow and Bone, which we talked about.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
I have opinions. And the thing that really hurt me during Shadow and Bone was I felt like the Killers, Fire and the Bone, should have been playing numerous times.
Well, yeah, the Killers should always be playing. Yeah.
Two out of four band members agree.
Oh, here's my fire songs for this year. Mandolin Orange, Wildfire. Really enjoy that
Did
one.
Did you know they have changed their name?
No, really? Have they?
Yeah. Gosh, what did they change their name to?
Are you setting up for a joke? I feel like you're
No.
I feel like this is a setup.
Watch House is their new name. They have released a statement that Mandarin Orange is kind of a joke. And they felt like the name was like a little too jokey for them. And it is, you know, their songs are not... don't have jokes in them. That's... not even like Phoebe Bridgers style jokes.
Wow, yeah, that's interesting.
No jokes.
It kind of rolls off the tongue, though. I mean, it's a nice little... Watch House. It's not a problem. I like it. I think it's better than Watch House. I'm going to go on record. I think it's a better name.
Mandolin Orange.
Tyler Childers, House Fire. Mm. Big fan of Tyler Childers. It's good. And Black Pumas, Grammy Darling.
So hot right now.
This year, but... Fire. They have a song just called Fire. And I was like, see, it's your rite of passage. You got to have a song called Fire. And then since you kept talking about, you know, you got to go. Jesus has to go. I have to go away. Just makes me think of Cat Stevens, Father and Son. It's just that little line. It's so poignant, isn't it?
Cat Stevens might be the most cried to male artist of all time.
Yeah. So good. So good. So that's what we got.
I like it, Matt. It's been real...
Vinyl?